Well, welcome back. Thank you all for returning to the afternoon session of the CUSC annual conference. My name is Jonathan Lawrence. I'm a fellow here at the CUSC and a professor of political science at Boston College. We're meeting at a very eventful moment, and for that reason, I'm especially grateful to our panel for agreeing to be here. As intellectuals and as policymakers, the members of this panel are faced with a deluge of developments every day. Each of them is contributing to decision-making processes that are influencing the course of history and the lives of millions. And during the extraordinarily eventful last 20 weeks or so, we've witnessed great displays of courage and personal sacrifice by the peoples of Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria, Bahrain, among others. And we've seen the governments of the United States and Europe adapt, first cautiously and later with great alacrity, to the changing circumstances on the ground. And as President Obama said yesterday at Westminster, quote, "These are early days. It will be years before these revolutions reach their conclusion," end quote. And in terms of the revolutionary calendar, it's fair to say that we are rapidly approaching the critical month of Brumaire. And as one rather influential German theorist might have put it, how do we avoid having these outcomes of the volatile situations before us descend into either tragedy or farce? As we speak, right now, G8 leaders are meeting in Calvados near Deauville to discuss their support for uprisings in the Arab world, and it is expected that they will announce large aid packages in response to the requests by Egypt and Tunisia for roughly $25 billion and $12 billion, respectively. The European Union inaugurated an office in Benghazi this week, and the Commission recently increased its humanitarian aid budget for Libya and updated its neighborhood policy for the region. The State and Treasury Departments here have recently announced a debt swap arrangement that will permit Egyptians to invest in job creation and entrepreneurship. So the situation and the U.S. and European responses are evolving by the day. And here to offer some reflection on developments to date and to speak about how the United States and Europe can continue to accompany their Arab partners during this crucial and rather molten phase is a panel of very distinguished guests, and I'm grateful to each of them for taking the time to be here today. To my immediate right is Tamara Wittes, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs, and formerly a senior fellow in foreign policy studies here at Brookings. She is the author of the very influential book, Freedom's Unsteady March, The American Role in Building Arab Democracy. To my right also is Mr. Hugh Mingarelli, Managing Director for the Middle East and Southern Neighborhood of the European External Action Service. He was previously Deputy Director General of the Commission's External Relations Directorate and was also the founding director of the European Agency for Reconstruction. And to my left is Madame Ana Palacio, former foreign minister of the Kingdom of Spain and founding partner of Palacio y Asociados, and who has also served in a number of key positions in both the Spanish and European parliaments, in European and American think tanks, as well as a number of international organizations. I've asked each of them to speak for about 7 minutes, beginning with Tamara and following the order of introduction, after which I will ask a few questions and then open it up to the audience. So please, Tammy. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much. And I'll just say first what a pleasure it is to be back in my former home here at Brookings and to join you for this wonderful annual event. You know, I think that there are a lot of myths and stories about the Middle East and about external relations with the Middle East that have been blown apart by the events of the last months. And those of us who have been working on these issues are faced with these events with a sense of humility going forward because so many preconceptions have been dismantled. But I think that there are a number of ways in which that dismantlement has been highly constructive. Of course, and as both Secretary of State Clinton and the President have noted, certain myths about the region that Arabs somehow are demobilized or politically passive, that they're not interested in the rights and freedoms that that the rest of us enjoy and that are yearned for universally around the world. These myths, to dismantle these is certainly worthwhile. But I think that it's also been useful recent events to help us examine some preconceptions about the role of external actors in the Middle East. I think that in many ways we've been able to move in the last several months past some old and somewhat tired debates about the role of external actors, especially the U.S. and Europe. Old notions that external involvement is always somehow unwelcome interference, a violation of sovereignty, a new form of imperialism, but also the notion that external engagement on the set of issues must always be either wholly altruistic or wholly self-interested. And I think also there's been a bit of deconstruction of the notion that, well, if only Western governments expounded clearly and resoundingly on democracy and human rights, that dictators would fall. So I think that we're in a much more constructive place as we deal with these events. Now, there's no question that the people of the Arab world have made their views clear, that they see political change as the best way for them to address all of the concerns that they face about their communities and their futures, their economic concerns and their security concerns, as well as their political concerns. Our role, therefore, is to welcome that development and to recognize it for what it is, that it provides us with an opportunity in many ways to strengthen and expand the foundations for a sustainable, long-term U.S.-Arab partnership, a partnership that President Obama has envisioned and worked toward really since he entered office, the notion that our relationships in the region should not simply be government to government, but that we must engage more broadly with citizens of the region and be responsive to their concerns. What the events of the last months have highlighted is the extent to which the status quo at the governmental level and the relationship between government and citizens in the region is not stable, and it's not sustainable. And the president spoke about that at length last week. And that as a result of that, that status quo is no longer an environment in which we can reliably pursue all of our interests in the region. And our interests in the region, I think both ours and European interests remain very much the same, to prevent terrorism and prevent the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, to protect global commerce, to ensure the security of our partners in the region, and defend against aggression. All of these interests remain. All of them, the achievement of these interests, demand stability. And I think what's become crystal clear, if there was any doubt in some minds in the past, is that stability in the region today demands democratic change. So as I said, from the beginning of the administration, we've really sought to broaden our relationships in the region beyond governments, to reach out to people, to find common ground, to work on the basis of mutual respect and mutual interest, and create greater reciprocity. And I think part of that common ground that the president spoke about in Cairo 2 years ago has been a shared commitment to freedom and dignity and opportunity, a shared commitment with people in the region to democratic values. And we've worked hard in my bureau and the work that I do supervising the Middle East Partnership Initiative to build more and stronger partnerships on that basis. So that today, half of the projects that the Middle East Partnership Initiative has in the Middle East are direct partnerships with indigenous NGOs, as opposed to large projects run by organizations here inside the Beltway. And I think that's just one example of the kind of change that we've tried to introduce from the beginning of the administration. Now, going forward,